イステーション。
Welcome to the land of long live play, where greatness is always waiting. Welcome to the PlayStation Experience. It is I, your host, Delvin Cox, and this week on the podcast with me is the Platinum Princess herself, Miss Haley Nicole Miller. How you doing, Haley?
Great. Getting frustrated with my hair, though, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, me too.
I took a shower this afternoon and my hair is so damaged. Hi, this looks like I haven't... This is an audio-only episode, so this is only for Delvin. Sorry. But this hair looks literally like I haven't washed it in weeks and I took a shower this afternoon.
I gotcha. Who's not with us is Dev. Dev's not here because I killed him with my bare hands. Just murdered him. He'll be back next week, though. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Wow. Straight up murder, huh?
Yeah. War crime.
Is it a war crime?
Probably not.
I think it's only a war crime if you violate the Geneva Convention.
So I have to waterboard him or something like that then.
Or if he was a medic, that would be violating the Geneva Convention. Or if you're a video game and you put the Red Cross in your video game, that violates the Geneva Convention.
Huh. Is he a medic in Destiny? I don't know. That's nerd stuff.
All right, then. I like how we started the show talking about war crimes and the Geneva Convention.
Yes. And speaking of that type of stuff, Haley, how was your week?
It's been all right. I finished season one of Legacies, and I'm 3/4 of the way through season two. I watched Fear Street 1994 this morning.
What is that?
You ever heard of the Fear Street books by R.L. Stein?
Never heard of them. Is that like a Goosebumps type series?
So it's the same writer of Goosebumps, but it's a different series. Netflix is releasing 3 movies, one each week, starting today. The first one's called Fear Street Part 1, 1994. Next week is Fear Street Part 2, 1978. And then on July 16th is Fear Street Part 3, 1666. The first one's really good. It's centered around a queer romance, but it's still horror for anyone who's, you know. I mean, unapologetically, like, if you're not really a fan of LGBT romances, you're probably not going to like this movie. But guess what? I don't care. Because it's 2021. Get with the program or just deal with it. But anyways, the movie's great. Also, I was super worried when I saw that it was tagged LGBTQ. I was super worried they were going to do the bury your gays thing. That's not a spoiler, by the way. This is a horror movie. People die. I'm not spoiling who. But I was super worried they were going to do the bury your gays trope.
Yeah, that's a common trope in movies.
Oh, it's been a common trope since Buffy. I'm looking at you, Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon has enough problems.
Joss Whedon can take the same walk David Cage needs to. Let's go with that. Yeah. And then I mentioned last week that I started Blindspot, but then I started Legacies right after it and decided to put Blindspot on hold while I finished Legacies, because Legacies is only like 40 episodes right now because there's only 3 seasons. Season 4 starts in October. And on the game front, directly after we recorded last week's episode, I platinumed Ratchet & Clank.
That's awesome.
And then I checked out the mastery challenges that were added to Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Those are pretty interesting. And then I haven't really played much else this week because, you know, work.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
So.
Cool. My week was weird. I guess it was weird because I played some game, but I was so preoccupied with a whole bunch of other stuff, I didn't really get too much. But I did, in fact, beat Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, I was going to say, you finished like two of them, didn't you?
I think this week I only finished one. I don't remember. Did I finish two? Maybe I had. I finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, I know you messaged Dev and I yesterday about finishing Ghosts, but I can't remember if you finished something else.
Great game, by the way. I like it a lot. I don't think I'll play the PS5 version.
We'll talk about that later.
I don't think I am.
Why?
We'll talk about that later when we get to that part of it. But I enjoyed my experience with it a lot. It's a great game. I don't know if I need to play it again to enjoy, to like get that. The way I looked at it is, when I was playing it yesterday, it looks fine the way it looks. It looks great the way it looks. I don't think I really need to see it looking any better than it did. It's cool. If I happen to get it, I'll get it. But it's not like a imperative thing for me. That's the best way to say it. And plus, I find myself trying to just, as of late, because like I said last week, I beat a whole bunch of games. I beat like four games last week.
Yep.
I'm finding myself just wanting to beat games to get them out the way. Enjoy the story, of course, obviously, but kind of clear my back catalog and open up myself so I can get more experiences. Because I found out earlier this year, I was trying to play all these things and try to get the completion, then something else would come out, and I wasn't really enjoying the game enough. And I get great satisfaction out of not necessarily platinum in the game, but getting to the end of that story and seeing the conclusion of that, and if I want to go back to it, I can always go back to it. And I felt like, me personally, I wasn't doing that. I was just playing games for like a few hours or getting to 75% of the game and it's just not finishing it.
So this, by the way, is why I only platinum games that I'm really enjoying. Like, I won't go out of my way. I'm just throwing a random game out here. Let's say the next Persona game comes out, femme protagonist, I give it a shot. If I'm not enjoying that game, like if I'm enjoying the game enough to finish the story, but not enough to want to go for the platinum, I just stop when I finish the story. Like, another example. And I wanted to go for the platinum, but I just wasn't enjoying it much. Skyrim. I tried to platinum this game twice, and it just got boring. So, like, it's why I really only go for the plats in games that I enjoy. Much to some others, distaste, I might say. They haven't actually voiced distaste, but I'm sure it would shock them as to why I don't. I'm looking at Jared Orr over here, who's got almost 200 platinums at this point.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I thought about it with Ratchet and Clank. And I could have did it. New Game Plus and played it again and beat it. But then I was like, there's so much stuff I want to play and get through before the holiday time comes, before the Guardians game comes out for one, and before that Avengers expansion comes out, now I know I want to play.
It's
just so much cool stuff.
You don't actually need to play Ratchet through the whole New Game Plus. The only reason you even need to start New Game Plus is to buy one weapon if you have the Deluxe Edition, or the two weapons if you don't have the Deluxe Edition that aren't available in the standard mode. After that, if you've completed everything else in the original mode and haven't missed any trophies that were tied to that, you're good. You can get the plat in the original playthrough.
I missed the trophy we were talking about. The one with the, you gotta hit the, guess stones, whatever they call them.
Yeah, but you can go back. Like, which planet did you miss the stones on? Do you know?
The one, I don't remember. The one that you have to get when you're going on the ramp. On the, I guess not, it's not a slide.
The rail?
Whatever you call it. The rail, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. That you would have to play through to that level, but that's like level
two, three hours.
Yeah, it's not that long.
Yeah, it's not that long.
Yeah. But totally understandable, so.
And I've also played Scarlet Nexus. I played a little bit more of that. I like it a lot. Funny thing about it is, I didn't realize you can change characters. Like, when you start the game, you can pick who you want to play as. So I kind of just picked the dude they gave me at the beginning. But I'm fine because I'm enjoying my time playing with them. I'm like, okay, let me get through this, see how it works, and then go to the next character. It's a beautiful game. I like I said last week, these type of anime type games, they look great because you can't go too much further with cartoons. Cartoon looks great.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why. Yeah, they've done. Part of the reason why, like, the Telltale games still hold up, like.
Yes, you nailed it.
10 years on, it's the way the shading is done with the cartoon graphics off. Now, granted, when the Walking Dead collection came out, like, all of them in one bundle, they did some upgrades to keep it, like, current. But, like, even if you go back and play the original Walking Dead Season 1, that game still looks great. So,
yeah, holds up very well. I like it. I kind of want, now that you mentioned, I kind of want a PS5 version of that.
Why? The PS4 collection that includes Season 1, Season 2, Season 3, Michonne, and the final season is generally on sale for like $40 and looks great.
I was hoping, I may be wrong, like, you know, I'm not computer savvy or anything like that, that if they put out a PS5 version, it would run better. Maybe they optimize it so it runs a little bit more better.
The collection runs better than the base games themselves do.
Okay, so that's a good thing. So I can
get
into that. Because I bought the collection, I just never played it. Because I bought the collection because I didn't want it to disappear off the shelves and stuff and not be able to play those games again.
No, I'd say there's still issues with it, but that's not like the console itself struggling to run them. That's just the engine. Like, the engine was dated by the time they released it. Like, they've fixed it as best they can, I would say. But it doesn't, like, it's not stuttering like it would in, like, by the time you added part 4 to season 1, the game would stutter in parts. It's not doing that.
Okay, that's great then. That's really good. So, yeah. I probably would get back into playing that again then. Because that's one of my favorite series of all time. I love all the games.
See, the fun part about that is the Batman collection they re-released, right? That runs better in the collection form than it does in the separate seasons, and I don't understand how they managed to do that every time.
I was thinking about getting that Batman collection.
Two of the most interesting Batman stories I've ever seen.
I agree. Only thing about it is, I don't like that. I don't think that Batman collection has... Is it called the Shadow Mode?
Yeah.
Where the game can be in black and white. I'm like, why didn't that?
Well, no, it's called the Shadow Collection because it contains the extra mode. The original seasons don't contain that.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. That the collection doesn't...
The collection includes that mode. The original seasons don't.
Okay, I have the original season, so I need to buy the collection to get that mode. Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
That really should have been DLC. They should have, if you own it, they should have let you buy something and, hey, you can have that mode now.
I mean, I don't even understand why they released a collection in the first place, because if you own season 1 and 2 and you finish the story, you got all the trophies and everything, and also nothing really changes, like, aside from, oh, now you can play the game in black and white, so.
Yeah, and I want to try that in black and white to see how it looks, because I like Telltale's art style and stuff. Well, otherwise that, my week has been good. No complaints so far. I like it. We talked about briefly offline. My interview came out with Stan Bush. People love that interview. So, been a great week. So, let's get to some of these questions because we have a lot. All right. Question from @SixWheels. He asked a simple question. The Punisher or Deadpool?
That depends. Is Rob Liefeld involved? Because if Rob Liefeld is involved, shove them both up a cliff.
Well, let's just base it off the character himself, not the creator or... Well, we already know how he is. He's a douche.
Yeah, let's not talk about Rob Liefeld. If I had to, like, pick based on, like, what I would... See, this is another thing. Are we talking about reading the comics or watching entertainment, or what are we talking here?
See,
Because my answer is going to vary.
I'll answer first and you can follow my lead. I feel like if we're going into video game space, the Punisher's video game is better than Deadpool's video game.
Yeah.
Have you played the Punisher video game? I think it's for PS2.
But I've played the Deadpool game and it was not good.
The Punisher video game is actually excellent. It was a PS2 game, kind of played a little bit like Max Payne, but you can interrogate people and like you can capture mobsters and interrogate them. And if you didn't, and then after you interrogate them, they give you like brutal ways to like kill them, like throw them in a wood chipper and stuff like that. Google this game. I had a blast playing the Punisher the Punisher game for PS2. It was fantastic. Very violent. It looked good. It had a shell-shaded style to it. It looked good. It played good. I enjoyed the heck out of that game. Deadpool game was okay. It was funny. But I liked the Punisher game a lot better. Now, in terms of characters, I like the Punisher a lot.
Thanks.
But I feel like Deadpool has more interesting stories.
Thanks, Amazon. Like, I wasn't actually looking to buy the game. I just wanted a description for what the game's about. But thanks for telling me that it's unavailable and you don't know when it'll be back in stock. Thanks.
But yeah, I find Punisher stories. I find Deadpool stories more interesting. But Punisher kind of has that classic story where it's him and Daredevil.
Yeah.
My brother's a huge Punisher fan, by the way. That's how I know a lot of this Punisher stuff.
So here's how I'd class it. If I had to go which character I'd rather read a comic book of, Deadpool, all the way. I had to go which character I'd rather watch entertainment about, Punisher. John Bernthal's Punisher, specifically.
Very good.
No disrespect to Ryan Reynolds, but there's so many poop jokes you can do.
Also, Deadpool's movie is very good. Both of them are very good, too.
I haven't seen Deadpool 2, but I've seen Deadpool 1. And Deadpool 1 is fine. But for an R-rated movie, man, do they make a lot of poop jokes. Like, there's so many other jokes you can be making. And, yeah. And I've heard Deadpool 2 just dives deeper into the poop jokes. And it's like, why? You're an R-rated movie. You can do whatever you like, and you're just doing poop jokes. Great. Punisher, the series, was great. Again, we're in agreement. The Deadpool video game was not good. So
yeah, it wasn't that great. It played a little rough, but yeah. So we got our answer there. Our second question comes from 100 Things Pod. I think we're going to piss a lot of people off with our answer. What games do people never stop bragging? Well, he said banging, but I know what he means from the UK. Banging all about that you guys can't stand. See that baby eating prick Crash?
I'm sorry. Crash eats babies? What?
A dingo ate my baby. Like I said, UK.
No, I understand he's from the UK, but pretty sure Crash isn't a dingo.
I know. That's him being facetious. He never got the appeal of the 2D running games in the 90s. Let alone remastering that crap last year. Now everybody's lapping it up. So what game do people keep bragging about, saying how awesome and amazing it is that you can't stand? You know my answer, Haley.
Say it.
Oh, so you want me to say it again?
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild. I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. If you enjoy it, it's cool, but not my thing.
I mean, yeah, that's one of my answers too. But also, like, I'm not gonna repeat that. We've hashed over that a bunch of times, and Donnie told me to shut up about Nintendo. So. I don't know. Like, I don't really like if you're enjoying yourself with a game. Like this is a shitty answer. I'm sorry, but like, if you're enjoying yourself with a game, that's great. Now, if I want to bring up, if we're talking about said game and I'm not enjoying it and I bring up, like, for example, okay, actually I've got one. Detroit Become Human. Game sucks. Also,
that's a good answer. And I like Detroit, so I like that answer. Yeah.
But also, like I'm not saying that you're bad. You should feel bad for enjoying it. I am saying you should examine the biases of the person who made it, especially after our discussion about David Cage last week.
Yes.
Which I won't rehash here. Like, David Cage, not a great person, but also, like, you're making a game about androids and a revolution and stating it's not political when you made direct comments by a character in the game from Martin Luther King. Like, yep, okay.
Yeah, we've discussed video game developers saying their game's not political ad nauseum all this year.
yes, but I'm not bringing it up to get into, like, the politics thing. I'm bringing it up because, like, people go on, and I've seen some stupid stuff related to Detroit. Like, and this isn't... Brian Deckert's a great actor. He played Connor, for anyone who's unaware of who that is. And so is Clancy Brown, who played Hank in that game. Also plays Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob. But, anyways, but they're great actors. And they've literally, at certain points, had to tell fans, hey, maybe don't do that. In relation to fans asking if it's okay if they get the Android triangle painted on them, like, tattooed on them, or stuff like that, like, no, please don't do that. Like, please don't. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
There are some things about that game that just should have been thought through. But other than that, like, if you're enjoying a game and I don't enjoy it, I'm not going to go banging on telling you you're in the wrong for enjoying it. Like, okay, I just don't enjoy it. It's like, that's like me with Persona. I make the joke all the time. Already went through high school once as a quote unquote dude, not doing it again. like,
yeah,
sorry. But like, I don't know.
I think what you said makes sense. That was a good answer. I like your answer.
So, I don't know. It's a weird answer.
I like it. Hollywood Bones asked us, now that Sony owns Housemark, what would you like to see from them next? Now, I'm a little twisted with this question because I don't know what we'd like to see from Sony next or what we'd like to see from Housemark next. I'm assuming it's Housemark.
I'm assuming he meant Housemark, but I can give answers to both.
Okay.
Housemark? I just want them to keep doing what they're doing. Like, I haven't played Returnal yet, but that's because I was waiting for it to go on sale. Not because I was afraid I wouldn't enjoy Returnal, but because at the time I didn't really have a job, so I had to make the choice between Resident Evil or Returnal, and I knew I was going to get a good, solid experience and actually finish the game at a Resident Evil, whereas with Returnal, I might be stuck on the first biome for 27 days, right?
Yep, that's me.
But, like, Housemark's great at what they do. Like, so, just keep doing what they're doing. In regards to what I want from Sony next, honestly, they keep teasing it, so do it. Like, either buckle up and do it, or just stop teasing it. It's like two games in the past year have made references to Sly Cooper, so maybe just bring it back if you're gonna do that. Like, yeah. I know you and Dev like to tease me with the whole Cole is dead thing. He's not. There's literally an audio log in... Dead. Fuck you. There's literally an audio log in Second Son detailing that Cole's quote-unquote body has gone missing. Because, duh, he got struck by lightning at the end of Infamous 2. Sorry to tell you, he's literally a lightning conduit, so it recharged his body or something. But do that at some point. I don't know. PlayStation is... I'm not of the opinion that PlayStation needs to get back into the FPS sphere. I know that some people are, but they're doing great at what they're doing. So, just keep doing it. Also, I say the Sly Cooper thing because there's literally more than one reference to Sly Cooper in Ratchet. There's literally... This isn't a story spoiler for Tsushima, but armor warning for Tsushima. There's literally a trophy for dressing up as a member of the Cooper clan in Ghost of Tsushima. You've made several teases. You even made one to Jack and Daxter. This is for you, Delvin Jr. they even made one to Jack and Daxter in Ratchet as well. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay, my answer for Housemarque is I want more of Returnal. Make more big budget games that still have that Housemarque feel to it. I love Returnal. It feels like a Housemarque game, but it feels upgraded. I guess that's the best word to say for it. Gameplay, it looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. Plays really well. It's hard. But to me, for the most part, it's fair. And I want to see more of that from them. And in terms of Sony, to add on to it, I want to see more of Sony just doing what they're doing, which we're going to talk about later in this episode, about how they're not making the same moves that Microsoft are doing in terms of like buying the Bethesdas and things like that. What they are doing is they're buying smaller companies that seem feasible for them to build upon. And I like that. I don't mind them going out there getting, hey, let's get this small company. Let's get this small company. Housemarque should have been part of Sony for a long time ago.
I mean, I'm bringing this up now. I'll bring it up later. I've stated time and again, I'm not really a fan of the industry being carved up in this way, but whatever. Yeah, I don't make business decisions, so.
I understand that, but to me, at least when it comes to, we'll talk about it more later, but the studios that they're buying probably need that capital. They're not buying, like, big studios. They're not buying Bethesda. They're not even buying, like, a Capcom. They're buying a smaller studio.
While we're on that, I've seen this brought up, like, several times. They're like, well, Sony sparked the fire. They bought, Microsoft bought Bethesda because Sony wanted to. And I'm like, no, Sony didn't have the capital to buy Bethesda. That literally never happened. So,
yeah.
No one in our sphere has made it, but I'm seeing it like spread around like misinformation on Twitter. Like,
yeah, I don't see how that would be.
Sony never intended to buy Microsoft. Just so we're clear, or not Microsoft. Sony never intended to buy Bethesda. They intended to, or attempted it. We know this at least, get exclusivity on Starfield, but they didn't attempt to buy Bethesda outright. And that's because Sony doesn't have enough market capital to do that. So, maybe don't spread misinformation around out there, but like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but you know, that's gamers and video game culture.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you have this listed in the show notes later. I glanced over them earlier when I added my story, but also while we're at it, hey, maybe don't be making petitions for Kojima to not work on a game for Xbox. Like,
I didn't know that was a thing. That sounds stupid.
It certainly is stupid. Chris McCracken posted about it on Twitter earlier, but like, I've seen it rumbling around this week. People are like saying that Kojima's betraying his loyal fans for making a game with Xbox. And I'm like, what?
Huh? All right. Moving on to the next. That's absurdly stupid. We'll move on to the next question with that one. That is ridiculous. Mr. Pastor Coach Ham says, Friday night show, eh? Time for some after hours talk. Ooh, sexy time. So, when you've had a full day's work in or outside the home, what's your favorite way to wind down? Food, drink, alone, that's mine, or with family and friends? Relaxing or active activity? I'm pretty vanilla. I drink and eat nothing and play video games alone. How about you? So, Haley, what you do to wind down when you're at home?
That depends on whether or not I work that day. I'm assuming, based on this question, I did work. I'll usually just make dinner and watch endless amounts of TV because I go through a lot, as we've established. Or if I feel up to it, I'll throw a game on, you know. I haven't really thrown games on during the week while training. Not because I don't have the time or whatnot. Like, I've had plenty of time. I just haven't had the energy. But, like, that'll change soon, actually. So,
okay. I like that answer. So, let me preface it this way. When I'm not podcasting or anything like that, I don't normally play video games to unwind. I play video games to have fun with video games. That's because I feel like when you're playing video games, you're exercising your brain and you're getting frustrated, you're doing like stuff like that. But when I want to rewind, unwind, and completely relax and do something that I'm completely not into, not like having to focus up my energy on. I usually like watch either wrestling, like I watch AEW wrestling every week, or I watch, if I don't want to think at all, I watch cartoons. Like I watch something like Craig of the Creek. I'll watch, there's a few cartoon shows I watch. I watch the new DuckTales reboot. My son is now watching Phineas and Ferb all over again, so I'll lay on the couch and watch that with him. I enjoy Infinity Duke, Train.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do to unwind, just watch cartoons and stuff that I don't have to think about. Like, I used to watch like Game of Thrones and things like that to unwind, but I found myself getting too involved in the story and having to think about it and stuff like that. So I like to watch stuff that I don't have to think about.
You can get involved in the last few seasons of Game of Thrones? Wow, no. Shocker.
that last season was rough. But yeah, I watch cartoons. Like I watch Apple and Onion. Why do you say Apple and Orange? Apple and Onion.
You're thinking of the annoying orange?
I probably was thinking of the annoying orange. But yeah, I sit on my couch and watch cartoons and wrestling and stuff and just flip my mind.
I don't know. In regards to cartoons, like, there's so much good stuff out there, but, like, I don't know. I haven't watched cartoons aside from Young Justice, which, by the way, season 3, Canada, where you at? Like, season 4 is supposed to air sometime this year. I'd like to watch it at some point.
Yeah, that... Y'all still haven't got season 3 yet?
So, here's the thing. My mom has cable. I don't. Season 3 has been re-airing on Cartoon Network, which is a channel we don't get, because I pay for everything, so she only gets 10 channels, and they're all live-action channels, because she doesn't like cartoons. Which, that's fair. She's allowed to watch what she wants. She's in her room. It doesn't affect me. But, like, I know Season 3 has been airing on Cartoon Network, but it's not on any streaming service available to watch as part of the subscription, but I can buy it on Google Play to watch on YouTube for $30.
That's a lot.
It's cheaper than trying to buy a Blu-ray of Season 1. Season 1's Blu-ray is like $48.
That's also a lot.
Season 2 is more money, and it's literally less episodes.
Yeah, I'll look at that. See how much that costs. That's a lot.
It's weird. It's ridiculous. I still love the inside joke that literally every episode of the first letter of every episode of season 3 says spells out prepare the anti-life equation. So,
yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. Final question from somebody we both know.
Wait. Did we skip the hokey pokey question?
Oh, yes. You want to bring that up? You remember it?
It's in my notifications. One sec.
While you're bringing it up, I'll read off Eat the Hype Donnie's question.
No, I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay, so.
What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? I don't know. What's the hokey pokey?
You don't know what the hokey pokey is?
No, I know the song. I just don't know what it actually refers to.
What does it refer to?
I don't know.
A stupid name for a song. What is the history of the hokey pokey?
I'm not gonna ask Google. I'm not gonna ask the G word because it'll show up in the recording. Because you heard it crystal clear, even with RTX on. So,
yeah, I'm trying to look up the history of the hokey pokey now. Hold up.
The song's title, "The Hokey Pokey," was supposedly an homage to an ice cream vendor from one of the people who's singing its childhood, who would call out "Hokey Pokey, Penny a Lump, have a lick, make you jump." In this case, "Hokey Pokey" was supposedly a slang at the time for ice cream, and the ice cream seller was called the Hokey Pokey Man.
That's something.
That is an article from January 10th, 2014.
I googled it, and the first thing that came up is, doing the hokey-cokey could be a hate crime. I don't
Hokey Cokey, what?
I don't know what's going on, but
did you misspell?
No, I didn't.
I typed in, what is the Hokey Pokey all about? What did you type in?
I typed in the Hokey Pokey on Google, and that's what came up. If you go past the video, it says, people ask, what's the meaning of the Hokey Pokey? Who originally sang the Hokey Pokey? And then it says, why is the Hokey Cokey banned? And then the first article is from the Telegraph. Doing the Hokey Cokey could be a hate crime. Yeah.
So it doesn't give me a meaning of Hokey Cokey, but let's move on because it sounds real bad.
Yeah. Eat the Hype, aka Donnie Simpson, with the addition of, is that Nixus? How you say that?
I don't know how to pronounce the studio name, but another studio they bought this week. Which, by the way, is real funny that they announced another studio after someone messed up and released, like, the Blue Point thing. Which, by the way, before anyone goes, oh, could have just been a mistake. No. You don't make you do not make a graphic of that level of quality and release it. Mistake or not, you do not make that level quality of graphic and marketing material to say they're joining the family unless you close the deal. That's not something you just make.
I agree. So to continue Donnie's question, with the addition of Nixus, I guess that's how you say it, to the family, how friendly do you think PlayStation will be to PC now? I'll let you go first, Hale.
No change. Literally, this changes nothing. All this does is allow the studios that were working on their own PC ports to move on and work on their regular games while this studio does it.
I was thinking the same thing. I think they'll continue doing the same thing they've been doing. They'll be adding other games. Because I feel like they'll be adding other games to PC that, and people will get mad about it, be big babies. I wouldn't be shocked if, and this is going to piss some people off, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Spider-Man on PC.
I don't think we will see Spider-Man on PC. I think that's probably strictly in the deal with Marvel. Now, is that shitty? Yes. Do I disagree with it? Yes. However, I don't make business decisions. Also, everybody knows how I feel about exclusives. But what I am saying is that this is not going to change how fast titles come from PlayStation to PC. I still think you're probably going to get about 2 or 3 on PC a year. You're not going to get them day and date. I don't think you ever will. But as we know right now, Guerrilla was working on their own PC port for Horizon, which was taking off development time for Forbidden West. What this does is allow other studios to work on their next project while this studio works on PC ports. So,
yes. Because clearly it's profitable for Sony.
Yeah, and also people getting upset that, oh no, my PlayStation exclusive is available on PC now. Why do you care? If you care about PlayStation exclusives, you've likely already played it on PlayStation. Why do you care if the PC market can now play it?
Yeah, I agree. Makes no sense to even care. No, I wouldn't even worry about it. I wouldn't even think about it. That's how much I care less. Once we get the exclusive, we play it. Why do you care? Who else can play it? That's how I always look at that type of
thing. Yeah, we'll see. Again, I don't think this is going to change their timeline for PC releases, but who knows?
Yeah. You may get them faster, but I don't think it'll be too much faster. All right. What's your story for the week, Haley? Because we got a bunch of stories.
Yeah, this was brought up in the Discord earlier this week. This is from Kotaku, but like other sources have
cooperated.
Yes, PlayStation is hard to work with, devs say, and this is indie devs. It essentially just goes on to talk about the cost of being visible on PlayStation Store. Essentially indie devs just find it confusing. There's a lot of like not talking. Like, I'm not reading the article word for word, because like this is kind of a known thing
It's been known for a while.
Yeah.
This has been the same argument they've been saying since like PS4.
Yep. It's all indie devs, which, you know, indie is definitely something that should be marketed because they're indie games. They're smaller, like, unless you know what you're looking for with indie titles, you're not going to find them by going through the new section, right? So
I will say this. Isn't that what they brought Shuhei Yoshida to supposedly be doing to kind of fix this problem?
Yes, but also, like, when's the last time, aside from, like, congratulating a studio on a release or something like that, you actually saw something from Shuhei on the blog?
It's been a while.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just a small story. Like, there's not... you have everything listed as our big topic of the week, so this is what I put there. Like, apparently it's, like, $25,000 to get marketability on the store for indie titles, which presumably a lot of indie titles or indie studios don't have that to just hand out. No, I don't know. We'll see. Literally, there was a huge, like, thread about this, and apparently it's now deleted, but, like, I don't really have much to say. We've known this. PlayStation is not going to change this until something makes them have to change it. So,
yeah, it's the arrogance of PlayStation. That's like I said before, this has been a conversation they've been having since PS4 earlier days when we stopped seeing indie games get that support they were getting it during the PS3 era.
Yeah.
And it's just confirming that they haven't changed when it comes to that. They've kind of put all their... They're backing behind the big blockbuster games they have, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to just keep putting their backing behind the God of War, the Spider-Man, and everything else is going to be secondary. We saw that with Concrete Genie. How they push Concrete Genie to the side.
See, that's even worse, because, like, that's a second-party relationship. Yeah. They essentially just threw their game out there to die.
Yeah, so why would they care about indie if they're doing that to their own games?
Yeah. Just ridiculous. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention this in case anyone's wondering. Delvin, you can see. Hi, my new headphones showed up.
That's cool. I think you tweeted it.
I did put it in the Discord, and I don't think I tweeted about it, but I did put it in the Discord that they showed up. But they literally showed up the day after we recorded last week. So
that's awesome. That's really awesome.
So,
all right. Next story. And this one caused a little bit of hubbub. Bloober Team is working with Konami on an unannounced quote-unquote game.
If you're going to mention the hubbub, you need to mention the person by name, and I'm very surprised. Like, my opinions on said person, I will let you name them, said person aside. Wow. Way to just sick your fan base on a development studio, dude. Just way to go.
Well... He wasn't the only one. There's plenty of people complaining about it, which is ridiculous.
He was the biggest person.
He was the biggest name. Yeah. Colin Moriarty was the biggest name that could have this big pissy fit about Bloober Team now working with Konami for we know it's going to be Silent Hills.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yes.
Also, like, it's pretty obvious that, like, again, the whole abandoned conspiracy thing aside, like, it's pretty obvious that whatever next game Konami partnered with was going to be Silent Hills, because literally all the merch Konami's been talking about lately is Silent Hills related, so.
Yeah, and I think, well, like Donnie said it on Xbox Empire, the writing was kind of on the wall. If you followed the tea leaves, you could see what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I think they were saying that it was the Bloober Team that was up for it, and who else was it?
I don't remember the other studio.
The people who make... Damn, I can't remember the name, but they make one of my favorite games, Until Dawn.
Oh! Okay, they're making the anthology series now. Yeah, okay. I know who you're talking about. I just don't remember the studio name.
I cannot remember their name right now. But yeah. And I think it's cool. I think people are over-exaggerating about how... And this is my thing about this whole situation. People blew it out of proportion and got their hopes up way too high to think that Konami, because the whole talk was Kojima's gonna be making a Silent Hill game, and it's abandoned, really. And I Sony mean, bought they did that to themselves, essentially.
I mean, yes, but also, like, why would Kojima want to work with Konami after what Konami did to Kojima?
Like, yeah, why would Konami want to work with them? Nothing Konami has done has shown us that they have almost any interest in video games right now.
All they care about is making money. Like, literally everything they tease video game related are pachinko machines released in Japan and China. Which, there's nothing wrong with releasing pachinko machines, but don't tease your audience with, like, pachinko machines for classic beloved franchises. Like,
I feel like this move makes perfect sense for Konami because Bloober Team's a smaller team. They can probably make the new Silent Hills game for not that much money, put out a decent to good quality product. People love the medium. Medium's a good game. People like a few of the games. People like Layers of Fear. People were mixed on the Blair Witch game, which is understandable.
But I never played the Blair Witch game. On the Bloober Team thing, like, which one? I don't know why Colin decided to just throw a hissy fit about this on Twitter. Because last I checked, Bloober Team has released the Medium and what else? I know they've released, like, another game, but oh well.
Medium, Layers of Fear, the Blair Witch game, and it's a couple other games.
Okay, they've been small games. They haven't had, like, a lot of, aside from the Medium, which was partial? Like, it was a second-party relationship with Xbox? I might be wrong on this. Yeah. Apologies, Donnie. I don't know what the relationship was, but I know they had a bit more funding than they normally would, because I've seen Layers of Fear, and it's, like, indie-level stuff. But with a backing from Konami or whatever studio else here to make Silent Hills, why are you complaining? You don't know what they're going to do. My issues with the storytelling of the medium aside, like, they've only made two or three games. Like, why are you throwing your rabid fan base at a studio? And yes, I know there were others complaining about Bloober on Twitter, but Colin is the biggest person I saw tweeting about this, and I don't even follow him. And literally the reason I saw his tweet is because everyone was dunking on him, throwing this shade out there. Like,
I'm gonna give Bloober Team credit, because they put out quite a few games in a good clip. The Medium 2021, Layers of Fear 2016, Observer, which was actually a really good game, 2017. Blair Witch 2019, Layers of Fear 2 2019, they redid Observer for 2020, and Layers of Fear Inheritance 2016. They've been putting out games. They're smaller games, of course, but they've been putting out pretty decent games at a good clip.
Yeah, aren't they a small team too? Like,
yes. And I think that's the appeal to Konami about it, because they're a smaller team, so they're probably going to cost less money to give that team less money than they would have to for to bring in Kojima, somebody to work on a Silent Hill or something like that.
Yeah.
Plus, they can probably optimize their profits, which Konami's all about. If the game doesn't work, they're not going to be at a big loss. So I think this makes perfect sense in terms of Bloober Team too, because if Bloober Team knocks it out the park, then they have a franchise they can constantly work on with guaranteed money.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, anybody who wants to play the medium when it comes out on PlayStation 5, or anybody who's played it on Xbox already, glad you all enjoyed it. I have issues with the way the storytelling was done. I watched a playthrough and I was not a fan of how that storytelling was done. But does that mean I'm going to throw a hissy fit because Bloober Team got assigned to work on the next Konami project? No. I'm going to let their work speak for them, which, aside, like, I haven't seen much from them. I've seen Layers of Fear gameplay, and I've seen the medium gameplay, which the gameplay seems solid aside from, like, I guess our confusion over whether or not they were tank controls, but whatever. I did not like the control scheme of the medium either. However, like, nothing about their game design speaks like, oh no, the next Silent Hill or whatever is going to be terrible. It's like they're an indie studio, and now they have the backing of Konami. Give them a shot. Don't throw your rabid fan base, who literally harasses people all day on Twitter, if they even mention your name, to the point where people now have to go put stars in it so they don't get harassed from your fans. Which, by the way, after he tweeted that, their team got harassed for this.
It's crazy. And it's crazy. It's just as crazy to me the fact that people are all the hubbub like the Silent Hill game, and they said it on Xbox Empire to give them credit again. The Silent Hill game weren't that great. There were like three of them that were good. Then they put out a whole bunch of really mediocre Silent Hill games. And then they had PT.
Yeah. And also, like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but like the ARG style thing with horror, you can't really do that. Anytime you do that, people are gonna jump to the conclusion that it's Kojima now. Like, yeah. I was listening to last week's Easy Allies podcast, and they mentioned the same thing, right? Like, ARGs in the horror space are just hard to do because everyone's gonna immediately jump to Kojima because of PT.
Yeah. I agree. But yeah, I wasn't a fan of what Colin did.
But it's not the first time. Also, this is completely it's related because Colin and Jaffe record stuff all the time together. But I'm getting fed up with Jaffe too. I don't follow him either, but you know, he keeps appearing on my timeline for people dunking on him. He made a stupid joke about Rivet being a lesbian and got banned. Like, his account got suspended on PlayStation for it, and Pink News, which is a newspaper article stuff. I don't know how to phrase it. A news website usually reporting on like LGBTQ news reported on how it was a dumb joke, and they weren't like directly attacking Jaffe and everything like this. I'm framing this on a mug now, and I'm just like, wow, like, you definitely didn't learn what the lesson you should have learned here was, which was maybe don't make derogatory jokes about a cartoon Lombax being a lesbian and everything will be fine. Like, who cares if she's gay, dude? Like, who cares?
I've learned. Sometimes I question myself whether or not I paid enough attention to video game news. And then I hear stories like this saying, yeah, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing the right thing, but I'm bringing it up in relation to like the sicking your fan base on it because Pink News got harassed by Jaffe's fans after this. Like,
all like six just, of them.
You would be that was surprised. A good joke. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But you would be surprised on this. Like, maybe just don't sick your rabid fan base on people. Like, don't do that, maybe. That'd be nice. Yeah. Let Bloober Team do what they're going to do. They have, you know, and I'm not trying to say aside from. I'm just saying, like, as an aside, they've released quite a few games. Like, maybe let them do this and they're going to prove that they can do it. So,
Observer is really good. It's a really good game.
I think I got it through PS Plus, but I've never played it. So, but
it's a really good psychological, futuristic horror game.
Yeah, I mean, Bloober does horror well. I mean, you know, again, I have issues with the way the storytelling is done in the media. But am I going to fault them for the game design or anything like that? Aside from me not being a fan of, like, the quasi-tank controls. I don't know how to class them, but they're not standard controls for a 2021 game. But, like, no, I'm not going to fault them. I'm going to let them do their job because that's why Konami hired them. So,
yeah, I'm super interested to see what they do. I'm excited for what I think. It's a lot of potential. That team has a lot of potential. And just shut up and let them do that thing.
Yeah.
Man, this might be the big break for the team. This might push them over their ass to be the next Bungie. We don't know that. Like, sometimes it takes things like this to get a team up there in that spotlight. And I'm super happy for them. That's awesome. They're going to get more work. They're going to work on a big project. And we'll see where they go from there.
Which they've earned the right to do. Like,
yeah, they put out quality stuff. I will say this about them. They're putting out quality 7s and 8s.
Yeah, I mean, and again, people have been clamoring for stuff in the quote-unquote double A space for years. Yeah. It's coming back, and now people are mad when a quote-unquote double A studio gets their hands on Konami IP. Why are you mad? You're getting a game from Konami. When's the last time that happened?
Exactly. They haven't been doing anything. So just be happy that we're getting something.
Yeah.
So we got more news to talk about. We don't have a topic in the show specifically because it's just a whole bunch of news that's happened this week. Yeah. So let's just go through the news. And one of the big topics that I know would, if on a regular week, this probably would be topic of the show. Ghost of Tsushima got a director's cut coming for PS5 and PS4 August 20th.
Yep.
So what do you think about that, Haley? I think it's cool.
I'm not excited that I have to pay $30 to get the PS5 version.
Yeah, that was kind of what I want to talk about. How they're I'm going down a list. I want to go down a list of how this works. I'm going to read it off the PlayStation blog. They say, if you already own Ghost of Tsushima on PS4, you can pre-order and upgrade to the director's cut on PS4 for $19.99 USD. This upgrade becomes available starting August 20th.
Yep.
Starting August 20th, if you bought the director's cut, you will be able to upgrade to the director's cut PS5 version at any time for $9.99. You can also upgrade directly from original Ghost of Tsushima to the director's cut for $29.99. So that's how it works.
What's the difference? You're paying the $30 if you want the PS5 version either way.
Yes. That's literally sound like a very convoluted way to just say that.
Yeah. By the way, for anyone wondering, this is going to happen with Death Stranding Director's Cut 2. Like, this pretty clearly states, like, you want the PS5 version, you're paying $30. All right. I'll pay the $30 because I want the haptic feedback while playing the new content, which is why I'm confused, by the way, that you don't want the PS5 version, because your progress can transfer over. It's literally in the blocks. You don't have to play through the whole Ghost of Tsushima again. You can experience the haptics and everything while playing the new content.
I don't know if I want to play the new content.
You don't
want to? That's why I said earlier, we'll talk about it. I don't know if I want to play new content. I felt like, not to spoil the game, because I'm not going to spoil it, say any spoiler about it. I felt like the ending I got with the game was perfect for me. It was like, I feel like I don't need to play anymore until you give me the sequel and you give me the ideal of what I want for the sequel. So it felt like a good, the ending was so good to me. It was like, I really felt like I didn't need any more content with it. Like, this is perfect for me. I'm good. This was great. I liked the final battle. I liked the resolution to it. I liked the fact that the path that is going down that can lead to a sequel.
Sorry, I got a notification that I thought was from your son while we were recording. And it's some person I've never heard of asking me to join the Lantern Corps New Reality Discord.
Oh, okay. Are they giving you a ring?
No. Who are you? How did you find me? Why do you want me to join your Lantern Corps Discord?
And what color ring are they going to give you?
I don't know. Also, like, their image is literally all the flash. So, like, why are you...
Okay.
It's just random. I thought it was from your son, because your son likes to choose a bunch of different, like, random profile pictures, which, yes, you know, that's fine. Like, nothing wrong with that. But, nope. It was from a person called the Clown Princess of Crime.
But, yeah. It's just, I don't think I have any interest to play it. I know you said you're excited for it, and I know Dev is super excited for it, but...
So here's the thing. I'm excited for the new content, not happy that I have to pay $30 to get the new features. Which, by the way, when the inevitable Last of Us 2 director's cut that contains faction comes out, guess what, everybody? You're paying $30 for it!
Probably, yeah.
Like... Sony's kind of just drawn their foot in the sand here and goes, you want our PS5 versions? You're paying money, motherfuckers. Like,
I have to ask you, do you remember last year when I came here having a big old hullabaloo about how you had to pay $100 for NBA 2K21 if you want to play the PS5 version, essentially?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I guess that's going to be common practice now. And it's kind of becoming that.
So, like, for anybody who doesn't own Ghost of Tsushima already, this new director's cut is the same price as, like, Miles Morales. Not Miles Morales. It's like Demon's
Souls. I think it is Miles. Yeah, no, Demon's Souls. $69.89.
Yeah, $70. Which, by the way, for Canada, is $90 plus tax, which... I'm real mad at the Canadian government now. So before this, I wasn't paying tax for games on the digital store, right? Anything I bought in the digital store, It was $89.99. It was just $89.99. Now I gotta pay tax on it. So thanks, government.
Yeah, they did be like that in Florida too. I don't think it's for games though. I think it's for movies.
Yeah, anything digital is now affected as of July 1st. So that's fun. I'm sure I've said this on the show before, but I pay for YouTube Premium because, hi, if I'm watching a clip compilation of my favorite streamer because I couldn't watch him stream that week, I don't want 18 ads in the middle of it. Like, no. Yeah. So I pay for YouTube Premium, and it was usually $11.99. Hi, now it's $14. Just stupid. Anyways, yes, I do remember when you were ranting about the $100 NBA version. Essentially, the standard, like, director's cut for anybody who doesn't own it is $70. Anybody who owns it, if you just want the PS4 version, it's $19.99. Though, if you're upgrading, I'm assuming, like, well, I can't say assuming because, again, finding a PS5 is hard for most people still. But what I can say is that generally anybody with a PS5, aside from you, because you've stated you're not sure you want to play the new content, if they're going to play the new content, they're likely going to want to play the PS5 version. Right? So yes. Most people who want this new content are going to have to pay the $30 because regardless of whether you pre-order the DLC, which, by the way, fun fact, I know the pre-order for this went live right after they put this news. Guess where it doesn't appear?
It doesn't appear on the storefront.
It does not appear on the storefront on the PS5. You cannot pre-order the game on the PS5 console. You would have to go to the web store to do it. Because you would have to pre-order it for the PS4 version.
I noticed that because I went on there today to look at the new, which the PS5 store is just jacked up. Like, I went on there looking for new releases and stuff like that, looking at the pre-orders, and it wasn't there at all.
No, yeah. It's weird how they do it. Also, like the titles that were announced last year are still listed as coming soon in the, the coming soon section. Like, one of the titles, one of them is Horizon Forbidden West, which doesn't make any sense why it's in the coming soon. It's been there since November and it just hasn't moved. Which I get that it's there because they don't have a confirmed date for it. But other titles that are in there have dates and are just coming soon. So whatever. The point being is that anybody who wants the PS5 features has to pay the $30 regardless because you have to buy the DLC and then buy the PS5 upgrade. So. I don't understand it. It's frustrating for sure. This definitely means that Factions is going to be tied into a $30 upgrade for PS5 for Last of Us 2. Okay. Great. Love it. Death Stranding, I never even touched the PS4 version, but if I want the PS5 version, that's probably going to be $30. It's just stupid. Yeah.
Just prepare yourself for it and be aware of it now that it's kind of all out there in the open. Just know what you're getting yourself into.
I just can't understand this decision after the backlash 505 Games got for the Control Ultimate Edition.
I think they got backlash, but people still bought it.
So No. Have you looked at the sales for the Ultimate Edition?
I have not lately.
Okay. Because as I understand it, the reason the numbers on it are so high is because it literally became the PS Plus game for the next month.
Ah, and I think it did it. Is it on Game Pass?
The standard edition of Control is on Game Pass. Okay, there we go. Yes.
There you go. So yeah.
I don't understand. They got massive amounts of backlash. Proved that the backlash was justified because literally people who had the standard version of Control got upgraded to the Ultimate Edition for free, but then that was taken away from them when they realized the quote-unquote mistake that 505 Games had made, and then they got even more backlash when it was proved, no, they're essentially the same SKU, you just decided that you want money for it.
I'm going to shoot 505 Games some bail. 505 Games is not that big of a company. Sony, on the other hand, is pretty big of a company. They can at least give us a free upgrade to the PS5 version of Ghost of Tsushima.
You know who's also not a big enough company and they still not a quote unquote big company and they still gave a free PS5 upgrade?
Who else?
The company that made Greedfall.
Yeah? Just seems like a Goodwill gesture. I don't have no problem with them charging for the DLC and stuff like that.
No, I don't have a problem with them charging for the DLC either. But if you're going to charge for the, like, if you're going to charge for a PS5 upgrade and it's going to be $10, why can't I just buy that PS5 upgrade separately from the DLC?
Yeah. Or just give us the PS5 upgrade.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's the other thing, too, because I know this isn't listed as part of the news, but it's related to the Greedfall thing. Hi, Sony, what the hell are you doing with the PS Plus, like, versions not being entitled to free upgrades? Because, you know how the Final Fantasy PS Plus title version of Final Fantasy VII Remake wasn't entitled to the PS5 free upgrade?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, if you got Greedfall through PS Plus, your version is also not entitled to the PS5 free upgrade.
I don't think I did, now that I think about it. I might have bought Greedfall.
I bought Greedfall as well.
On sale.
Yeah.
Because that game's always on sale.
I mean, yeah, that game's also like, it's an indie game and it's,
yeah.
I wouldn't say indie, but it's AA. It's worth the, like, it's a good game. Here's the thing.
Yes.
What are you doing by telling your customers who pay for PS Plus and get these games as part of their monthly subscription by telling them, hey, oh, you got this game for free? Yeah, you can't get the upgrade. Like, what are you telling them there? Like, that's stupid.
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. On to happier Sony news, since Ghost of Tsushima depressed us. Sony bought two new studios. Three new studios, really, right?
Well, we have two confirmed. The third one is essentially confirmed, but until they come out with a statement, because Sony doesn't usually like to comment on stuff like that, although at this point I'm surprised they haven't, because did the person who posted that image probably get fired.
Housemark, Nixus, who I can't say, and quote-unquote Bluepoint.
Yeah. Which, like, we can't even talk about Bluepoint, really, because until Sony comes out and says something, there's no news on that front. Although, yeah. I'm going to say it again. You do not make that high-quality level of graphic because people are like, well, it's possible they just put the wrong logo there. No, if you look at the actual image that was deleted from that thing, it literally had the Demon Souls guy standing beside the character from Returnal in the lineup. Like, that's a lot of graphic work to go into that image. Like, you don't make that level of quality of an image state for, like, hey, this company's joining the family without actually making a deal with that company. Like, that's not how that works. You can't just make fantasy graphics for, like, fantasy acquisitions.
Yeah, but I think it's cool that Sony's kind of doing what we were talking about earlier, them doing. Going out there, buying studios that are small that they can afford. And it's good on them that they're picking up studios, with the exception of Nixus, because Nixus, if I'm correct, worked on PC ports, like the Avengers one and some other things like that, right?
Nixus has also worked on, like, has also assisted on projects like Uncharted Lost Legacy. And I think the multiplayer for Last of Us 1. I'm not
entirely sure. Okay, so they fall into the same lineup. It feels like they're picking up studios that we said they should have been picked up. Like, Bluepoint is one of them that's had a good relationship with PlayStation. And it looks like they're going to be picking them up. Housemark, for years, people have been asking Sony to pick up Housemark and put them in the Sony family, because they've been working on nothing but great games. People love Resogun. People love Returnal. Housemark's been always critically acclaimed, so it's good to see that they're finally getting into that PlayStation family. Even though they were before, even more so now, I think that's great. I think that's awesome, especially with the quality of Returnal. Because I love that game, and I usually don't like games like that, but I love that game. It's fun. It's great. It's cool to see that Sony's doing that. And Nix is just
rogue.
I like that they built their catalog.
Yeah, you don't usually like roguelikes. But, I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not really a fan of the industry being carved up like this. But, you know, I don't make business decisions, so.
I'm fine with it being smaller Stuke companies. And these are all smaller, relatively small companies that probably need that Sony backing. That Sony money machine, that Sony promotion, things like that. I don't feel like Housemart always got that with Sony. Their games kind of spoke for themselves. Like we know Housemart because of the quality of their games, not because Sony were just going out their way to promote them and stuff like that. It's like, hey, we know Resogun's great. We know this game is great. From word of mouth, from review scores and things like that. Now, and we started seeing it really with Returnal this year. The Returnal commercials and things like that. They're getting that big marketing push from Sony that Sony usually reserves for games like Ratchet and Clank. Like, what's another good one? Uncharted, like The Last of Us. Seeing Returnal get that and Housemarque get that praise is awesome. I think that Sony should do more of this. I wish they buy Supermassive. That's what we were talking about earlier.
I don't know. I don't really like the industry being carved up like this. I don't make business decisions, so this is obviously going to keep happening. Others have mentioned that we're far away from a monopolistic state, but like that's not my worry about the industry. My worry isn't like Ubisoft becomes Xbox exclusive, Square becomes PlayStation exclusive. Like, that's not my worry. Like, I know that's not going to happen. A, because that's doing that literally carves them up into heading towards monopolistic territory way faster than buying smaller studios. Not that that really matters. Like, if they're going to buy studios, like, my big worry is the EA problem, which, EA buys studios and then makes them make content that doesn't do well and then closes the studios. I'm looking at Visceral Games. I'm looking at the original studio behind The Sims. Like,
that makes sense. I get what you're saying with that.
Like, that's my worry, is that companies are going to get put on projects that don't do well, or they're forced to put microtransactions in, which, to this point, to both Sony and Microsoft's credit, like, they haven't forced microtransactions in games. But that doesn't mean things don't change, because everyone wants a slice of that Fortnite money now. So that's the thing, right? Like, Visceral Games from EA closed because they were forced to turn Dead Space into something Dead Space wasn't, and forced to add microtransactions to it, and the game just didn't sell at all. And now the quote-unquote rumor, but pretty much all but confirmed, Dead Space revival is coming and probably being announced at EA Play. But, like, you wouldn't have to be doing a revival if you'd actually just not run it into the ground in the first place to close a studio that you didn't want to support anymore. Like, that's my worry with this stuff. But yes, it is great to see Housemarque get the recognition they deserve. I can't really give Nixus credit, because besides assisting on Lost Legacy and I think Factions Multiplayer, I don't know what else they've done. Besides being a really good port studio, which is, I think, part of the reason they were bought.
Yeah, I think it's cool that people at these companies are getting some press and some shine and stuff like that. I wonder what will Sony continue to scoop up these smaller studios. We know that their strategy so far has been let's get exclusives as opposed to studios. Like, let's get this console, make this game console exclusive instead of getting a whole studio and stuff like that. But
I hate, like, that I said, stuff too. Like, I hate timed exclusivity and whatnot. Like,
I understand why you hate it, but I get it though. You gotta at some point differentiate these consoles.
Just let everybody play games. But I digress.
I understand what you're saying. But that's a utopia. That's, if all things considered, that's what the dream is. But in reality, as long as companies want to make money with their box, you always want to have exclusives and things like that.
They make more money. I'm not a business financial wizard, but like,
yeah.
I don't know. They'd make more money if more people had access to their games. That's just my thinking, but what do I know? I'm not business leader who makes way too much money, Bobby Kotick or whatnot. Like,
I haven't heard that name in a minute.
You haven't heard that name in a minute? He literally just won a company-wide vote to get $155 million that he doesn't need. Literally, Haley, like...
Remember what I said earlier in the podcast? I don't pay attention to these video game news.
Literally, like 45% of the company voted against him getting a $155 million raise for the year.
And, I would vote against that, too. I'd give that
down. And literally, he won by like 4%. Like, that's how much he won that raise by, is 4%. Like, yeah. No. Like, just stupid. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think this news is great for Sony. Shoot, like I said, this whole episode has been a kind of a news episode because there's been so much stuff to talk about in terms of everything that's coming out, the things they're working on. The Ghost of Tsushima news was pretty big. I am curious if they're telling us this Ghost of Tsushima news now, I feel like that would have been a good news for their kind of state of play or something like that.
Unless they have more important news to share, because see, here's the thing.
I was leading to that, yeah.
I definitely don't think an event is happening on the 8th.
No.
Unless they announce it Monday, but even still, that's 3 days for what I'm assuming is their quote-unquote E3 event. I'm assuming their event's later in the month, maybe after EA Play. But we know Death Stranding's going to be there in some regard. Presumably, we'll get a date for Horizon as to whether or not it's been pushed out of the year or not.
I would have thought the Death Stranding would have been there, but now seeing this Ghost of Tsushima news, I wouldn't be shocked to be like, dude, Death Stranding in a blog post. And like, hey, Death Stranding's coming out September 25th or something like that. Director's cut.
See, that's the thing. I could see Horizon being September and then Death Stranding being in that November slot. Like,
I was going to say the opposite. The exact opposite. I could see Horizon being November and Death Stranding being September.
Either or, it's likely, one way or the other, that Horizon still launches this year. No news is good news, they say.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's interesting that they just decided to blog post this because it leaked. And, you know, literally, like, what company hasn't had leaks this year? Like,
all of them.
Just like Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle or Spark of Hope or what? Well, actually, it's just Mario plus Rabbids Spark of Hope. But regardless, the new Mario plus Rabbids game leaked like literally 2 hours before Ubisoft's conference. Square had their entire E3 conference leaked. Microsoft actually didn't have any leaks, I don't think, but they've had other leaks earlier this year. Their list leaked, and I know that because Donnie shared it with me. And I asked him to, like, he didn't spoil the event for me in case anyone wants to get mad. Don't get mad at Donnie. I asked to see the list, and Donnie shared it with me. But only their list showed, like, nothing, like, no graphical images or anything like that in regards to, like, the Square leak or Kingdom or Spark of Hope leaking like 3 hours before the Ubisoft event. What else? I don't think Nintendo had any leaks there, but I know they've had other content leaks. So it's just like leaking is just normal in this industry, like to the point that like a prominent Sony leaker just closed their account because they were afraid of being found out. Like, I don't know. It's just there's so much going on. And if they're dropping this news in a blog post, you're right. There probably is more important news.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. So, I think that's about it for us, isn't it?
I don't know. What else is on your list?
I think that's everything.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else you want to say about any of these topics, Haley, before we go?
I mean, no. I love that Google when looking at this document, says that anonymous Q-U-O-K-K-A is looking at it. And I'm just like, what is that? What is that?
I don't know what that is either. I'm going to just move on from that.
No, it's like, so you're not signed in looking at the Google document, which is why that's there. So it says okay. That you're, because I'm signed in, because I'm on Google Chrome. But you are not.
The app on the phone.
Yeah.
So Google Doc app on the phone. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, so it's just, it's interesting that that's what it says your username is when you look at that. It's just weird, but, you know, I don't know. It's been an interesting week. Oh, right. Not really gaming related, but I guess I should just point it out. I get my second vaccine shot tomorrow.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Very excited.
That's awesome. Also, next week, Black Widow comes out, so can't wait for that.
Not excited to have to pay $30 to go see that? Or
I might go to the theater. I'm vaccinated.
I can't go to the theater, Delvin. We're not in stage 3 yet. Guess what just opened so I can go fix my stupid hair that is literally damaged beyond regard. No matter what I do, by the way, because again, I took a shower like 4 hours before this podcast and my hair looks like I haven't washed it in weeks. It's Pantene. Damaged. It's damaged. But no, we're in stage 2. We entered stage 2 on June 30th. So movie theaters are still closed. They don't open still. Stage 3. Malls just opened back up. Hairdressers just opened back up. Nail salons just opened back up. More non-quote-unquote non-essential shopping is allowed in big box stores and stuff like that. So like more customer capacity and stuff like that. I don't know. All stupid. But the earliest I can go see a movie is July 21st.
Okay, that's not too bad.
I can't see Fast and Furious, Delvin.
You got to July 21st.
Yeah, it's going to be out of theater rotations by then.
But already?
Yeah.
It just got in theaters.
On June 9th. No, June 25th, sorry.
Yeah, you got time. It'll still be a theater.
No, then. I doubt it. I can go to a drive-in, but I don't have a car, so how am I getting to the drive-in?
Go to a walk-in.
How? I wouldn't be able to hear the movie. You have to tune it to a radio station.
You're going to have to stand by somebody's car.
Oh, my God. All right, we're on a tangent. Let's end this.
So that's going to do it. For episode 90, wow, we're almost there, of the PlayStation Experience. We hope you enjoyed yourself. If you didn't, it doesn't matter. I enjoyed myself.
I did.
You enjoyed yourself, Haley?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So there you go. So that's all that matters. We don't care if you enjoyed yourself or not. Please feel free to holler at us and give us a follow over at the Twitters at PlayStationXP. Stop by the blog at psvg.blog or the Discord at psvg.blog/Discord and join us in our shenanigans. Foolishness there. I won't be there, but y'all can enjoy them. They'll be fine. Last, but certainly not least, we'd like to invite you to be a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/PSVG. If you enjoy our content here at PSVG, there are a slew of additional content over there to be had just for $3 a month. And with that in mind, we'd like to give a special thank you to our patrons at the producer level. Michael Messick, Edwin Keller, Stephen Keller, Nick Creature, Bill Moxham, Nick Farharbor, Paul Calico, Kyle Hyman, Devin Tyus, who is dead RIP, Josh Boneshaw Baboni, RJ Kern, Horse Girl 69, Zach Adams, and Joe Wilson. Thank you for joining us in that journey that is PSVG. So with that in mind, Haley, let the people know where they can find you at.
You can follow me on Twitter at Shepard Zarel. You can find me on your game platform of choice at Haley Zarel. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/HaleyZarel. Again, I still need to like get my real schedule, which I don't even know what it's going to be yet still, and we're getting closer to like production schedule. So surprise. That'll be fun. Huh?
It's a surprise.
Yeah, great. Love surprises like that. Not. And then you can follow me on Tumblr at haleyzerall.tumblr.com, which I just actually revamped. So
keeping the light. You revamped all of Tumblr?
No, I revamped my personal blog, which I will show you after we're done recording.
I'm quite sure if you were to revamp all of Tumblr, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know the difference.
I can't code for shit, but I'm sure I could code better than the employees who work for Tumblr. So just so you know how Tumblr is run, it's run by like two staplers. Just
pretty much. You can find me on Twitter at Delvin_Cox. Check out the Delvin Cox Experience anywhere you get podcasts, and definitely check out that Stan Bush episode because it is awesome, and I am an awesome interviewer. With that said, long live play.